questions that come up. I'm sure you will be faced with a question of the importance of the koilel. Why sit and learn? Justification for sitting and learning and not going to work, especially if you have someone who has a little bit of information, they'll right away ask you, isn't it true that great rabbis, some of them were shoemakers, so how come you don't make a living? So first of all, it's this is probably known to you, but the halachic part, of course, has to be known. But we'll just go through fast the halachic source for that. What was the halachic basis for sitting and learning and not making a living? But I'll spend more time talking about a system, because very very often I find that even though you have questions that they are difficult to answer, very often if you present a system into which the difficulty fits in, that satisfies the listener. I mean, that's a big, I mean, many 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 things. You don't necessarily have to give a logical answer. When I was in Los Angeles, I spoke about, it's interesting, we called the subject earthquakes. That's very, you know, it's very noigea to people in Los Angeles. They're very, there is like an obsession about the earthquake. Like, what should we move? Shouldn't we move? Right? So we call it like this: earthquakes and hurricanes. Is there a flaw in God's creation? I mean, it's a difficult subject, right? I mean, the whole subject of evil, the whole subject of right in the world. So, I mean, obviously, we don't have the answer. But that wasn't the point. The point was that if you create a system into which earthquakes and hurricanes fit in, and bring that in the future, we'll talk about it, what, you know, because I think it's very, very negeia. A whole system, you know, just with all the sources, and that fits in, that is satisfying. Which means even though you don't have a direct answer on that specific question, but if it fits into the system, something that fits in itself an answer. I think that's really the pshat. When the Rambam, you know, the rabbi asking the Rambam on the question of Yedi and Bechire, the contradiction between God's knowledge and our free will. So the Rambam gives a whole, you know, like an insight into the Yedi as Hashem and into how the Yedi as Hashem is different than our Yedi. So the rabbi asked, I mean, you know, you presented a problem, you didn't give an answer. What the Rambam really means is that if you understand the system, you don't get an answer. There is no answer for this theory of Yedi and Bechira. There is no really logical answer. The answer has to be, which means what gives satisfaction to the one who asks, is that it fits into the system. It just fits. This is the way it fits with everything else, with our whole insight into Hashem's Yediyah. It fits. So even though we don't have an answer, but it fits. So the Rambam is right that the Rambam is not giving an answer. There is no answer, right? And more, do you know what the Or Sameach writes on the Rambam who tried to give an answer? He says, "Shorei leMorei," you know, God should forgive him. I mean, you know, why are you going to giving answers into questions that have no answer? They have no answer according to the limitations of our minds. So very, very often, if you present the system into which the problem fits in, that in itself gives satisfaction. That's what we are here for, just to give that satisfaction to the questioner that problem just shouldn't bother him. It's very, many Mefarshim learn that is what happens to Eov. What happens to Eov at the end, you know that nobody understands the question of Eov, Tzadik V'Raloi. If you take a look at the Sof Sefer Eov, there is no answer, right? The Ribbono Shel Olam says, "Harishon Odom Toila, were you born before Odom Harishon? Do you know how I made your mind?" I mean, there is no answer. Again, it's the same idea. All of a sudden, Eov is satisfied. Somehow, he puts his problem into the perspective of the whole system, and therefore it gives him satisfaction. So very, very often, you don't have to focus directly on the problem, but if you speak around the problem, and the problem just fits into the big picture, that itself will be a satisfaction. So that's what I want to do here.
People will probably, I imagine anyway, that people still see that it's not really an answer, and then they'll still come back to the original question.
Let me tell you from experience, it doesn't. The fact that it fits, it just fits, is in itself a satisfaction. If you are able to put it in the right perspective, they won't ask you. It's more. You can actually say that the answer is irrelevant, because once you see the big picture, you know, it's like, you know, Eov himself says, "Hamishma oizen shmaticho," he says, like, up till now, I only heard about you, which means his relationship to Hashem was from a distance. So therefore, I had a question. Ato einai risicho, something like this. Now I see everything. Once I see everything, I see that it's not a valid question anymore. It's not that I have the answer. Again, the same concept. And derech agav, you'll see from your experience that a satisfying answer is better than a good answer. Something that just, it fits. Like, you get like the menucho after, it fits. So, for instance, in this particular thing about the idea of learning and not making a living.
You're making a living.
Yeah.
Who's not making a living? You're learning, you make a living.
You make a living by learning.
No, you get salary from the coil and so.
Oh, so it's a problem. There's a problem.
What?
That's but it's a problem because you're making money from learning Torah. You're making money from learning Torah. And it's known, you know, the Rambam Shite. The Rambam's opinion, Haloch Lemaise, that he says that Kol Hameisim Alibo Sheyasok BeTorah VeLo Yaseh Melocho. A person thinks he's going to learn and not do work. Visparnes Min Atzdoke Harei Zechile Les Hashem. Very strong words. Harei Zechile Les Hashem Ubizo Es HaTorah VeKovo Moir Hadas. Listen to the expression Kovo Moir Hadas.
What's that Kovo Moir Hadas?
Lechabot me'or, the light of the das. Vegoram ro le'atzmoi ve'not al chayim inu elo mabo. You see, five things. Lefishe osur lehenes b'nivrei Torah olam hazeh. This is the Rama Milchos Tameter, Perigimel Elocheyud. Omru chachomim kol anehene medivrei Torah, not al chayim inu elom. Ve'oitzivo v'omru al tasem atoro lizgadel bohem, lo'ikardum lachpor bohem. Not allowed. They're not allowed to benefit from Torah. The oitzivo v'omru ehoves amelocho usneyes harabonus v'chol Torah shenim amelocho soifo b'teila v'gorer esovoin v'soifo dom zeshi emelastem esabriya. It's very, very strong words. So halocha lemaise in Yoredeya resh mem vov. You have a very famous Ramon and the Shach here. So just in short, just to go through the halacha that he said this, the Mechaber brings down the point in Reish Membov Chof Aleph, brings down the halacha in the Vertom Iskame Misha Misrape Yatzmo Yalehen Veloim the Mitechidon. You have to immerse yourself completely in learning. Says the Ramo, "V'lo yachshoy v'odom lasoik betoyro v'liknois oisher rekovoy dimalimud." Shouldn't think that I'll do both. I'll work like the Gemara calls it on both tables, on both shulchanos. Ki mishe male machshov ezubeliboy eino zoyche likisro shel toyro. In order to be zoyche likisro, so we'll see right away the concept likisro shel toyro. Elo yase toyro soy keva u'melachto yarai. Meaning following the Rambam, take work, but the learning should be the Iker, and the Melocha should be Arai.
What was that mean coming?
Lo ya, you shouldn't think that I can work equally. I'll work, correct? I'll be rich and then learning Torah and I'll be big Talmid Chochem. Can't do that.
You can't work half day and learn half day.
What?
You can't work a half a day and learn a half a day.
I don't know that it means that you should, if you become immersed in making money, you can't. The immersion has to be in Torah.
The Rambam says 3 hours and 9 hours.
Right. The Rambam says, right, the working 3 hours and learning 9 hours. That's the way he puts it, the Rambam, in hours, as an example. Right? So, yeah.
Doesn't the Rambam also have to be understood within the given context?
Oh, right. So yeah. Yeah, okay, you're coming to that. That's where we're coming to. And then he says, we'll skip a little. It's a very long Ramoitz. It's interesting, Taki, if you want to take a look at it. So it's a big mile if you work also. So he passes like the Rambam. He quotes the Rambam. The quote, end of quote. Now, says the Rambam. If you're healthy and you can do both, you can learn and work a little bit and make enough money to support yourself, it's okay. What about if you're a choile or you're not capable of doing both? Then it's mutter to make money. Goes on the Ramo. V'yeshoimrim de'afilu beborim muter ulechein. This is the halacha lemais in the Ramo. Ulechein nohagu. Bechol mekoymos Yisrael sheharav shelir yesh lo achnose. A rav is allowed to take money kedei shelo yistarech lasos b'melocho mipnei abriyos vizbaze hatoyra mipnei amoin. This is why, right? So the heter is for the rav who requires koved hatoyra, and if he's going to become a shoemaker, people will look down upon him. So it's mutter for him not to become a shoemaker and take money. V'yesh mekilin oy, and there are some shittas that are even more mekul. Loima de muta lechochum letamil lekabel aspokes mina noisnim kedei lehachzik kedei lon de Torah, because the heter before was only for the rabbi who requires koved atore, and then it would be a bizoyan to work. The next set of v'yesh mekilin oy, that tells you that even to sit and learn you are allowed to take money. If you can do both, then of course go to work. But you don't worry about taking money from the tzibur because yesh mekilin. All right. Then he goes on to say like this. Mikol mokoy mishel hayte midas chasidus is still a midas chasidusu. If you go to work too and you don't take money for sitting and learning. Okay. Says the Shach. So this is the Ramo. So the Ramo brings down all the shittas from top to bottom. He brings down the Isur, he brings down the shittas Aramba, and he goes all the way down to the Yesh Makilim, who says just for sitting and learning you are allowed to take money, not only for the road. Okay? So that's the most. He brings down all the shittas. And that's as far as the Ramo is concerned. The Shach.
What day is this Ramo bringing?
The Ramo brings down the Gro, brings down the Mekoros for the Ramo. Different sheet.
Rishonim,
that's all Rishonim. The Shach brings down here, the Shach brings down the Rambam. And then at the end, again, it's a longer Shach, so we just take out the Iker here. Then he brings down the terutzim that people give on the Rambam, how the Rambam can be pshat in the Rambam can be different, that even the Rambam is moide. We won't go into the lomdes of it, but then he says afilu nemar shein kein das Rambam, and even if you are going to take the Rambam shita literally, that you're actually not allowed to take money for sitting and learning. And you will assume that the Rambam shot is the way it sounds on the surface. Ho came alone, but we have a pshat. We know, we have a kabole. Kol mokim shalocha roifef es biyotcho. Whenever you don't know for sure, we don't know for sure whether the Rambam means dafke or lav dafke. So, haloicha chara minig, then we have to follow the minig. And what is the minig? Veroinu kol chachme Yisrael koydem zman rabbeinu ve'achrob noyagin litol schar miatzivu. Klal Yisrael, for generations before the Rambam and after the Rambam, it was known that the community supports people sitting and learning. Vegam ki noida shalocha kedir rabbeinu v'eshashyaskimu ke. Right. Oh, so it says like this. And even if you're going to say shalocha kedir rabbeinu, and even if you're going to say no, it's not roifefes. Lemaise the aloch is like the Rambam that it's osir to make money for sitting and learning. But we have a klal. And so vaday, so why our chachomim made the minhag against the Rambam? Because Efshar, he says, "Bederech Efshar, sheiskimu ken kol chach meadoyres meshum eislas or eislashen." This is a very famous shach, that the reason why you're allowed to take money sitting and learning, even the Rambam will be moide because of eislas or eislashen. So we don't have to come onto the yesh makilin like the Ramo says, those that argue against the Rambam. He says even the Rambam will be moide in eislas or eislashen, which means if nobody will take money for sitting and learning. Toiro matiye oleo, like the Gemara says. What will happen to Toiro? The whole world will become a meratzim. So, eis laso eis lashem, even the Rambam is moide in such a situation, you are allowed to take money for learning. She'ilu lo yoyo parnosa salom de vamelam de metsuyo. If the loindim, the teachers and the students, you know, as people sitting and learning, if they won't make money, voisu atoiro mishtaka chas visholem, the Torah will be forgotten. It's not, you can't work 3 hours a day. The Rambam talks about Heichetim, so that you can work 3 hours a day and then sit and learn. But today, says the Shach, if you're going to go to work, it means getting up early in the morning and coming home late at night. When are you going to sit and learn? Impossible. Therefore, every tzibur, right, has the obligation to support people. Okay, this beiker, what I want to bring up. Fine. So that's the halachadik source for it. Now, in the Rambam Gufe, you find here in the Perek Shlishi in Chostamut Torah, the Rambam starts like this: Bishloishok sorim nichter Israel. There are three crowns that the Jews were given: Keser Toiro, Keser Kehuno, and Keser Malchus. Three crowns. Torah, Kehuna, and Malchus. Keser Kehuna, who took it? Aaron HaKoyen. Keser Malchus, who took it? Yehuda, Shevet Malchus Beit Dovid. Keser Toiro, Harei Munach Ve'oimed, Umuchon Lekol Yisrael. Kol mi sheyirtze Yovoi Ve'itoil. Then he says, and then he goes on, the importance of Limudat Toiro. First I'll make money and then I'll learn. Don't say that. And then he says, and then he brings down this aloha kol amesim aliboy sheyasek betoyro, and also he's going to v'lo yase melocho, that's also bad. He has to do a little bit melocho. Now, then the how famous Ramba, what?
Today, when a person sends his wife to work, is that can be that yetsa zayin that the melocha?
Definitely, yeah, no question about it. Which
no,
means
it's
that
written,
is,
it's,
that it says that it ma'ase yodov doesn't mean himself ishtoke gufoy. Now it said ma'ase yodov doesn't mean only his own. It says ishtoke gufoy. If his wife can work and bring a parnosa, that is the same thing as himself, and then he's mekayim the Rambam.
Is that written somewhere?
Yeah, I saw it in a few places. I saw somebody quotes the Chofetz Chaim. Somebody who quotes the Chofetz Chaim. By the way, that's how the Chofetz Chaim was knowing himself. I saw brought down also b'shem Chazonish, the Chazonish, also the Chazonish, by the way. This how he in Europe made a living. His wife worked.
But that's maybe only if the wife brings enough that she can earn the whole salary. That will be enough
right.
without taking money from the koilo.
True. Of course, if it's no, it's not enough. Then of course you're allowed to take money. But if the wife works, that's alechatchile the kikum of the Rambam. Meaning, this Buddha. Now, the famous Rambam here is in Shmita V'Yoivel. In Shmita V'Yoivel, the Rambam seems to say the opposite here. The Rambam says that Loi Shevet Levi Bilvado, not only Shevet Levi has a right just to serve God and Elokol Ish Ve'Ish Mikol Boye Yo'oilom. It's incredible, the Rambam says. Every human being, asher notvor ruchoi oisoi, vehevinu midayo li bode lamod lifnei Hashem. He wants to be a moodle and just serve Hashem. Ulo ovdoi ledeyo es Hashem. Veholach yosher k'moshoso elokim. Uporak me'al tzavoroi oil hacheshboinoi sorabim. Nothing bothers me. Nothing. Nothing is on my shoulders. Harezen iskadesh kodesh kodoshim. Remember the words, because it's going to be no idea what I'm going to tell you. Harezen iskadesh kodesh kodoshim. V'yi Hashem chelkoi v'nachalosoi. V'yiskelo bolamazeh dovor amaspikloi. K'moy shezocho lekoyanim lelevim. Which means, such a Jew that not voliboy, doesn't have to work. It says clearly. No, it doesn't say a Jew. Doesn't say a Jew. But it's a double, a separate Indian. I once spoke about it. Why the Rambam says called boye oilom? Doesn't say called Israel, called boye oilom. It's just like called boye oilom. The Rambam says becomes like a levy. What does it mean that people have to support it? So I understand it like this. You know that. It's Negiah that Parshas Hashavu a little bit. Trumot Etzave by Yaakov Kudei. You find like this. You have in the Oyel Moyed, you have like this. You have the Oroi in the Kodesh HaKodoshim. Right? Then you have in the Kodesh, on outside of the Poroiches, you have, when you walk in, you have on the south side, you have the Menorah, right? And in the middle, you have the Mizbeach HaKtoret, the Mizbeach HaZov, and on the right side you have the Shulchan and the 12 breads. So it's interesting like this. First of all, that already the Meforshim say that three Ksorim, what the Rambam talks about, the three Ksorim, the three crowns, which three vessels of these four vessels we just mentioned have Zer Zohov Sovi, have a crown around it? The menorah has no crown. What has a crown? The Oroin has a crown. Zer Zov Soviv. The Shulchan has a crown, and the Mizbeach HaZov is a crown, which fits perfectly, because there's no question about it. The Mizbeach represents what of the three Ksorim, Kehuno, Malchus, and Torah. The Mizbeach is obvious. Avdus Lashem. That's the Mishamshim, the Koyanim. The Mizbeach represents the Keser Kehuno. The Shulchan, by the way, the Shulchan is always a symbol of, you know, supplying the necessities. That's Malchus. Let's mention this word. Shulchan, let's say Shulchan Melochim. The Shulchan is the symbol of Malchus, and the Shulchan is Azer. The Oroin, obviously, is the symbol of Keser Toiro. Keser Torah, and the Shuch, and the Oroin really has a crown around it. Interesting. If you look through all the Medroshim concerning the symbolism of the Menorah, what are you going to find? What does it symbolize, the Menorah? Torah. So everybody is the problem. You're saying Torah is about pay. You're quoting the Netziv. You know, the Netziv says it. Others for him say it. Because they have a problem. In the Medroshim, you find a double symbolism. For Torah, you have the Menorah is Torah and the Oroin is Torah. So first of all, why do you need a double symbolism for Torah? Why is it that Menorah has no Zer? That's not the Keser Torah, and the Oroin has a Keser. Another problem that already I saw in the Svasemis, he asks, why is it that there is no mizbeach in the Kodesh Kodoshim. Why is it that the Oroin is there all alone, right? And the Menorah shares its place with the Mizbeach HaZohor and the Shulchan. I mean, you know, why the Oroin is all alone and the Menorah shares room with the Mizbeach and the Shulchan? Okay, so that's a problem. So the point I want to make is the following. It says in the Meforshim, it says that the menorah, the shivoknei menorah, the shivoknei menorah, is the symbolism of the chochmah, because it's mentioned in Chazal that there are seven sources of chochmah, of insights. So the chochmah that a person has, he should use it for Torah. That's the light, the Torah. The symbolism of the Mizbeach in the middle, it says, like the Rambam says, Kol ma'asecho yiyu l'shem shomayim, which means like this: even Torah has to be learned l'shem shomayim. You can learn Torah sheloy lishmo. It's possible to learn Torah either because you are so overwhelmed by the chokhmas haTorah, by the insights into Torah. You can be very impressed with the logic of Torah. I remember a Jew who used to sit and learn in his store. He had a fur, you know, he used to sell furs. Shabbos, used to open the store. You know, he used to work on Shabbos. I'm a Chalal Shabbos. I'm definitely an Apikores. But the Gemara was always open. He was just incredibly impressed with Gemara. He learned in Europe, and he came, and he used to learn, he used to say Shiurim, but used to work on Shabbos. He was very impressed with Gemara. It wasn't unusual at all in those days by the Maskilim to have people of that sort. So, or you can learn Torah in order, let's say you get covered for learning Torah. It's also like an impure. Yeah.
Somebody told me that he heard from Avutner, he came to Yeshiva and said the Bochur Til is Chasne has to learn Lishma for the Kale.
For the Kale.
Afterwards he can learn Lishma.
That's right. So the point is like this: that it's very easy to learn Torah Shaloi Lishma, completely Shaloi Lishma. Very, very easy. So the Mizbeach tells me that in the middle should be L'shem Shomayim. Same thing is with the Shulchan. The Shulchan to bake breads, which means to prepare your needs, Sheloi Lishmo, that's extremely easy. The Mizbeach is there to remind you, Kol Masecho Yu L'shem Shomayim. Your spiritual Maisim, your intellectual Maisim on the one hand, your physical maisim, your material maisim, on the other hand, should be l'shem shomayim. You know, the Rambam in Hilchos Deyos, he says a very, very important pshat in Hilchos Deyos and in Shmoyin HaPerokim. The Rambam says that what does it mean? Kol masecho yu l'shem shomayim. It's a concept which in the United States, in products of the 20th century, find extremely difficult to accept. The Rambam says that everything you do, you have to be able to justify in terms of your service to God. Let's say you're taking a vacation, you're listening to music, you're relaxing, you're eating. If you can't justify it in terms of your service to God, you have no right to do it. You know, you take a vacation, if you say, well, why do I do it? Because I feel like it. And that's the normal justification nowadays, because I feel like it. You're not allowed to say it. How much it goes against L'shem Shomayim. Unless you are able to say, well, I need a vacation in order to become more relaxed, in order when I come back, I should be able to serve God better. Fine. If you are able to justify it in such a way. So even that, it's far from the L'shem Shomayim, but as long as there is a connection, you have fulfilled at your level L'shem Shomayim. Okay? Now, the Sfasemis says that the reason why there is no Mizbeach in the Kodesh HaKodoshim is because once you are at the level of Kodesh Kodoshim, you can't talk about L'shem Shomayim anymore. The Hesber is like this: L'shem Shomayim you can only talk about when there is a distance between you, what you are doing, and the goal. And you have to connect. Right? That is the obligation of L'shem Shomayim. What about if you are at the level that you are so dovu b'Hashem, like he describes Moshe Rabbeinu? Moshe Rabbeinu was so dovuk to Hashem, so for him it wasn't shayach to say that he does things l'shem shamayim. He's well beyond l'shem shamayim. L'shem shamayim you can do if you have a still an awareness of yourself, of your ego. So then you have to do something l'shem shamayim. Sure, I'm doing it for myself, but I'm also attaching it to the goal, therefore I did it l'shem shamayim. Moshe Rabbeinu, who had lost his ego, he came to a point that he actually had no ego at all. You know, that's a pshat why Moshe Rabbeinu had to be onov mikol ish asher al pnei adomo. It wasn't a coincidence that Moshe Rabbeinu is the biggest onov, because you know what anivus is according to Torah. Anivus has nothing to do with what people think. It has to do with some kind of a inferiority complex. You don't think much of yourself, right? In Torah, that has nothing to do. You can know exactly, let's say, a person who is a famous surgeon, and everybody knows that he's the best surgeon in the world. Can he still be an ono? Of course he can be. According to Torah, he easily can be an ono, as long as you don't take credit for it, and you don't focus on it. You focus outwards, outwards, not inwards. That is your anivus.
I think it's not true to say he can easily be an ono. Well, he can be an ono, but it's harder for him.
Of course it's harder for him. But there is no contradiction between anivus. You're right, of course, like the Gemara says, by a melech to be an ono is more difficult. You're right, but it means that there is no contradiction at all between anivus and his knowledge, his awareness of his characteristics. So, this is why by Moshe Rabbeinu, if he reached the level that his own essence was absolutely nothing, it was botul mevutul klapei Hashem, right? And this is why he became the receiver of Torah. So of course he's the owner, meaning he never focused on himself to the point, you know the when it says that Moshe Rabbeinu was the only Novi Israel, Jewish Novi, who was able to prophesy while he was still awake. Because when you're awake, you're aware of your body. Every other Novi Israel, when he prophesied, had to lose awareness of his own self, which means that there is a contradiction. If you have an awareness of your own self, you can't prophesy at the same time. It's impossible. You have to lose awareness of your own self. So how come Moshe Rabbeinu didn't have to do it? How come Moshe Rabbeinu was able to be awake and still prophesy? Because he had reached a level of such a purity that even his body, that his self-awareness wasn't really self-awareness. It was an awareness of his service to Hashem. That's Moshe Rabbeinu. So by him it's not fair to say that he did things l'shem shomayim. He is the extreme of dveikus. It's not fair to talk about l'shem shomayim. So according to this comes out the following. It's true that the Oroin is Toiro and the Menoiro is Toiro. The menorah represents a Jew who has his own life, but he acts within his own life l'shem shomayim, which means by him the mizbeach is in the middle. So such a Jew works a little bit. What is the symbolism of his work? The shulchan. He works a little bit. He learns. He uses the chokhmah of Torah in order to learn, in order to understand more Torah. But he's a menorah Jew, which means he is part of the masses of the Jewish people who are not able to immerse themselves completely in Torah. He's not completely immersed in Torah. He has a deep interest in Torah and a commitment to Torah, but he's not completely immersed in Torah. So that Jew, the menorah Jew, has to share the room with a shulchan. Such a Jew has to go to work. And such a Jew has to have a constant awareness of the Mizbeach, L'shem Shomayim, that everything is the Avdut B'Hashem. But what about the Oroin Jew? The Oroin Jew is a Jew who is completely immersed in Torah. Such a Jew is completely immersed in Torah. In the Kodesh HaKodoshim, there is no Shulchan. Such a Jew doesn't have to work. There is no room for him to work. And look how incredibly fitting it is. Remember I told you the words of the Rambam? Hareze niskadesh, such a Jew who is completely committed, not volibo, you remember the words? Kodesh kodoshim. I think it's no coincidence at all that the Rambam calls it niskadesh kodesh kodoshim. He's describing the Oroin Jew, The Oron Jewish Kodesh Kodoshim, that's a different level. That's above the Menorah. The Menorah is Kodesh. And Keser Toiro is only the Oron Jew. The other Jew, in as much as he's a Menorah Jew, he can't have Keser Toiro, whatever that concept represents, the idea of the Koyach HaToiro, the Koyach of the opinion of Torah. The koyach of the Keser Torah, which probably means the authority of Torah, is only given over to the Oron Jew, not to the Menorah Jew. Yeah.
I recently heard a shiur from Moshe Shapiro, and he spoke to Daft about this Rambam, or actually maybe all that, and he brought that as a grava there, and it says that the type of person that is that the Rambam is speaking about, the grava says, is only Rav Shimon Bar Yochai.
Oh, right, exactly.
He said that we can't kid ourselves. We're not learning because of Shaylady Bilvat. We're learning because of the Yisachar Zvulun relationship.
Correct.
And so that we still don't fit necessarily into this box.
Correct.
Of Kaddish Kedashim.
Correct. 100%. 100%. I'm not. This is what I'm telling you. I'm not trying to give an answer to the question of our learning, but it's very important to understand the system. That there is such a thing in Klal Yisrael as people sitting and learning completely. And what you mentioned, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, you know, the Gemara in Brochus, the Machlokes Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and Rabbi Shmuel. Right? So you find like this. So when someone asked in the Gemara, when somebody asked in the Gemara to Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, someone asked him, "It says Ve'osafto de Gonecho." So answers the Gemara, you know what Shalom Sadeh Necho, B'she'eino oisim retzoinom shel mokoim. So everybody, Toysis over there, what would I mean? Eino oisim retzoinom shel mokoim. What it means? There's a whole of Reb Chaim Volozhin in the Nefesh HaChaim, there's a whole stickle on that. What does it mean, eino oisim retzoinom shel mokoim? So the pshat is like this. The same difference that you have between the Oron Jew and the Menorah Jew, you will have the same difference between the first parsha of Krishma Jew and the second parsha of Krishma Jew. If you pay attention, it's an amazing, amazing thing to compare the first parsha of Kriyashma and the second parsha of Kriyashma. The first difference you find is that the first parsha of Kriyashma is all in singular. The second parsha of Kriyashma is all in plural, almost all in plural, except for one short piece. That's difference number one. Difference number two, it's interesting, in parshas, in the first parsha, there is no Kabbalas Oil Mitzvahs. There is only a Kabbalas Oil Malchus Shomayim, and there is no Kabbalas Mitzvahs in the Parsha Rishayna Shel Kriyashma. In the second Parsha, Voyom Shomayat Ishmu Mitzvah, there is a Kabbalas Mitzvahs. Another difference. In the second Parsha, there is a Ve'osafto de Gonecho. In the first Parsha, there is no Ve'osafto de Gonecho. In the second Parsha, there is a warning. Beware! In the first Parsha, there is no such a warning. In the first Parsha, it says the three ways of serving God. Bechol levovcho, uchol nafshecho, uchol meidecho. In the second Parsha, it says bechol levavchem, uchol nafshechem. What doesn't it say? Bechol meidechem. It doesn't say bechol meidechem. What is the difference? So according to the Hesber of Chaim Volozhin, there in the Nefesh HaChaim, it comes out the following. It comes out that the Shema, in the first portion of the Kriya Shema, was said, what I'm calling now the Oron Jew, the Jew, the singular Jew, the extraordinary Jew, the Rav Shimon Bar Yochai Jew. The first parsha of Kriya Shema is talking to Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. Such a Jew serves God bechol levov uchol nafshecho uvechol meoidecho, implies, you know what meoid? It means something which is very important. Money. Money is very important in your life. You see, he's talking about a person who has completely given up on money. It means absolutely nothing to him. Such a Jew is serving God. So such a Jew, of course, has no room going to work. Going to work means, of course, I have to balance, I have to make money too. Okay? That's why in the second portion of the Kriyat Shema there is no Bechol Me'odeichem, because the second Parsha Jew, he's the Menorah Jew. He's a Jew who does mitzvahs. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, the Gemara says, for instance, you know, the Gemara says that, well, it's a question exactly what he means by that, that Torah patters you from certain mitzvahs, right? Torah patters you from tefillin. You don't have to wear tefillin, which means you are so immersed in the Iker that it's not necessary to wear tefillin. Like the Or Sameach his Masbir says, the whole union of tefillin is shinun, the union of that's the whole union of Torah. That's the embodiment of Torah is tefillin, says the Or Sameach. He says, of course, if you learn Torah, you are learning the Iker. What do you have to put on tefillin for? That's what Rav Shimon Bar Yochai holds. Why? Because by him it's Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shomayim. There is no Kabbalah mitzvahs. He went beyond Kabbalah mitzvahs. Right? That's why we find Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. No, as that's another thing. It's not als oynes. That's oynes. Oysa mitzvah poter man mitzvah. It's kiyum, said the Or Sameach. It's kiyum of the inyan of shinun. The same thing we find by Ben Azai. We find an incredible thing by Ben Azai. You know that by Ben Azai, when the Rambam brings down in Hilchos Ishus, he brings down Ben Azai. Ben Azai never got married. He didn't get married. What was his heter not to get married? Why? Because Hoshko Nafshi Betoiro, he says. I'm too immersed in Torah. If you take a look in the Rambam, in Tesvov Hilchos Ishus, he brings down like this. He brings down Oisek Bemise Potor Mina Mitzvah. If you are involved in Torah, you can postpone getting married. And he says clearly, you can postpone getting married. And in the next aloha, he brings down. And someone like Ben Azai doesn't have to get married at all. You see clearly from the Rambam, it's not al oisek ben mitzvah poter min mitzvah, because Ben Azai reached that level of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai that there was like a kiyum. Torah becomes like a kiyum of Piri of Erivio. And we find that there's another raya that according to Ben Azai, that immersion in Torah is a kiyum of Piri of Erivio. See, there's a Gemara in Yevamos that says like this, that somebody criticized Ben Azai. Ben Azai once spoke about the importance of having children. So somebody asks, you are Yofe Doirish, you speak very nicely, but you are not Yofe Mekayim. That statement, Yofe Doirish, not Yofe Mekayim, is concerning Ben Azai. You are being a hypocrite. Why are you telling me it's so important to get married and have children? How come you didn't do it? So he says, Ma Yaseve Nashi Choshka Betoiro. If you are going to learn that is only a heter because it's an oines, so he's still not a yofe mikayim, he's still a hypocrite. Obviously, when Ben Azai was saying nashi choshka betoyer, he's saying I was mikayim, and we find very often that the inyan of teaching Torah is like having children. We find by Moshe Rabbeinu teaching Bnei Aaron Zbonim is like what, because Torah has that creative power. It's like spiritual children. So we find such a thing that if you are at that level, at the level of the Pasha Rishon Shel Kriyashma, Torah can take the place of many of the mitzvahs. So therefore there is no Kabbalah Oil mitzvahs, because very often being a Jew of the first portion of Kriyashma is a kiyum in the other mitzvahs. So you don't need Kabbalah Oil mitzvahs. That's why in the you have Avir Safto de Gonecho. Okay, so this is really pshat in Eino Oisim Ritzoino Shel Mokoyim. Eino Oisim Ritzoino Shel Mokoyim means that ideal of the orange Jew, so that is the real kiyum mikvah. Says the Nefesh HaChaim. Says the Nefesh HaChaim. Obviously, for the masses, that's why it's plural. The masses. That's only the second portion. The masses are Menorah Jews, but the extraordinary Jew, the exceptional Jew, the singular Jew who gives up his life just to learn Torah, he has an inherent right to be supported by the community. And I found, you know, the Gemara talks about the fact that in everything it says in all the Kelim, in all the kelim of the Beis Hamikdash, it says the osiso, says to Moshe Rabbeinu, we'll see so this. By the Oroin, it says Ve'osu. It's interesting. By the Oroin is the only place where it says Ve'osu, they should make. Right? Why? Because the Oroin, that's the hint that it has to be supported. Ve'osu, they have to make it. They have to make it. Right? This is the idea behind it. Now,
I think that it's lishmo.
Even if it is lishmo, but it's not the madrega. According to the Sfasemes, it comes out that there is a madrega higher than lishmo. The madrega of the Oroin, not voliboy, it's not l'shem shomayim. You see, when the Rambam talks le'elom yaso kodom b'toru mitzvos shelo lishmo shemitosh bo lishmo, the madrega of lishmo, that's the menorah madrega. He doesn't say when he brings down the shmita of Yovel, that exceptional Jew who does it l'shem shomayim. It's higher than l'shem shomayim. It's a madrega that everything he does is Dveikus Bashem, because he becomes an instrument of the will of God. It's a higher of than Leshem Shomayim. You hear this, it's a subtle difference, but it's what the Sfasemes says, but it's an incredible difference. Saying that you do something Leshem Shomayim establishes the fact that I am I, and Hashem is Hashem, and I do things for Hashem. Right? When you reach the level of you make Ritzoin Chog Kirtzoinai, you have no Rotzen anymore. That is a higher Madrega. That's not a Madrega of the Shem Shomayim. That's the Madrega of the Oroi, which doesn't need a Mizbeach anymore. Right? There is a depth to it that there is a Madrega higher than the Shem Shomayim. There's no question about it. When the Ramban says that there is a Madrega of a Jew not going to a doctor. You know the famous Ramban that a Jew shouldn't go to a doctor. It says verapo yirape. Those are the masses. It says the same thing that what the Reb Chaim Volozhiner says concerning going to work. The Ramban says legabe going to the doctor. The singular Jew doesn't have to go to a doctor. It's also mamish the difference between the first portion of Kriyash Maju and the second portion of Kriyash Maju, which means a Jew who reached a level, an orange Jew, completely immersed in Avodas Hashem. So such a Jew can be involved in, like the Rambam says, any of the cheshbonos is what I'm going to go to a doctor, take medicine, what for? I can go to the source, you know. The second portion of Kriyash Maju, such a Jew lives in the physical world. His job is to elevate the physical and make it spiritual if he works L'Shem Shomayim. The second portion of Kriyat Shma Jew, such a Jew lives in the physical world. His job is to elevate the physical and make it spiritual if he works L'Shem Shomayim. So such a Jew, of course, if something hurts, of course he should go to a doctor. But the Jew of the first portion of Kriyat Shma, of course, what the Shaykh does he have with a doctor? He lives in another world. He's in the Kodesh Kodoshim. How can he go to a doctor at all? So you know that the Lishitosoi of the Ramban is incredible. You know the Ramban is the only Shita that I found till now. Nobody agrees with the Ramban that Avraham Avinu, when he left Eretz Yisrael and went to Mitzrayim, he was a Choyte B'Shoigeg. Nobody says it. Only the Ramban. Why? Because the Ramban is Lishitosoi. Avraham Avinu probably was a first portion Kriyat Shma Jew. He was a Jew with what? The chesbonos of this world should bother him? So what if there is a drought? Hishtadles is only for the masses. There is no chiyuv hishtadles at all if you are at that level. At that level you are beyond hishtadles. There is no shulchan in the Kodesh Kodoshim. You don't have to be mishtadl if you're in that level already. Now, again, it's not that I'm saying that, you know, that anyone is in that madrega. But the point is like this. Once you establish this system, that there is a concept in Klal Yisrael, that there is a menorah Jew, and that there is an orange Jew, right? So obviously the Rambam in Hilchos Talmud Torah, he's talking about the masses. He's not talking about that exceptional Jew. He's talking about the masses. So the masses, of course, they have to go to work. But you can't say that not going to work contradicts Torah thought. It's definitely part of the Torah system that there should be an orange Jew and there should be a Jew of the first parsha of Kriyat Shema. Right? So, again, I'm saying, you are not answering the individual thing. Say, so this is why you are learning? I mean, nobody's going to accuse you, right? Unless, you know. But the idea is that the system has to be understood. That even according to the Rambam, there is room for every community supporting someone who sits and learns. Yeah, any questions on this?
So what does that happen?
What? So our heter, of course, is the Shach. Our heter is the Shach, because that's what Reb Aaron Kotler says. Our heter is we are in a war. This is the way he put it. We are in a war, and even though, because the problem with our heter is more than just a heter, it's a heter which destroys lives too, unfortunately. That's a problem, you know. There are many people who are not shayach to it, and we, knowing that they are not shayach to it, we waste money of the tzibur supporting people that are not shayach to the whole parsha, right? So, and we know that you are destroying his life by supporting him. He should be working, and you know, and we go along with the idea, meaning actually we allow people to become victims of the system. What is our heter? So the Reb Aaron Kotler says, because in a war, people fall. There are people victims, and the purpose in a war is to win the war, to survive. This is our matzav today. This is our Baron Kotler says. Obviously, we'll come to a point. And by the way, you know, it says clearly that things changed once there is a specific necessity. You know that there are meforshim who learn pshat in what the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos. What are the three things that Anshei Knesset Agdoyle says? Hemidu Talmidim Harbe, right? What kind of a chidush is it? Hemidu Talmidim Harbe. What's the chidush of Hemidu Talmidim Harbe? They have to be mechadish Anshei Knesset Agdoyle. Hemidu Talmidim Harbe. I mean, obviously there is if you have to teach, the more the better. Before the Anshei Knesset Agdoyle, there was no concept of Hemidu Talmidim Harbe. So I saw him before and I say, Eino Chinami. Before the Anshei Knesset Agdolah, there was no Inyan of Hemidu Talmidim Harbe. Before Anshei Knesset Agdolah, there was an Inyan of Hemidu Talmidim Toivim, to stress the quality of the Talmid. What about if there is a Talmid Sheino Toicho Keboroi? What about if there is a Talmid Sheino Hogun, or there is a Sofek Sheino Hogun? Don't teach him. So if so, so what are you going to have in yeshivas? Only the elite. Eino chinami, only the elite. Why? Because there was no danger of Torah shetishtakach b'Yisrael. Everybody learns, right? So it's like today, lehavdil, a very important medical school, they can be very, very choosy. What about if no one wants to become a doctor? If no one wants to become a doctor, the medical schools won't be able to be choosy anymore. Then we have to stress quantity. In quantity, many people who are not ro'ui will join, and then you are destroying their lives and you are destroying Torah. So what can we do? That's war. Mamish like Baron Kotler says, that's war. So people will fall. This is the chidush of Anshei Knesset Agdoilo. Anshei Knesset Agdoilo, the Jews were 70 years in Golis. They came back. Torah. What's the importance of Torah? They were all immersed in the Persian way of life. So Torah is important for them. So what is the job today? In the today of the Anshei Knesset Agdoilo, quantity, forget about quality. Quality we'll talk about after we have the quantity. Okay? So that's what Reb Aaron says. We'll say, now you're going to talk about quality. Now you're going to say, no, he shouldn't go into the Kohelet, maybe he's not Roy, he's not going to become the great Talmid Chochem, he's better off becoming an accountant. How can we say that today? He's better off becoming an accountant. It's war. So eventually he'll be frustrated in his learning. So what? Klal Yisrael will gain eventually from it. Right? So it's a different attitude altogether. So that's the inyan, like the Shach says, Eis Lasos Lashem. In Torah specifically, in mitzvahs we don't find it so much. Eis Lasos Lashem, in Torah, we have heterim to bend laws concerning Torah, not writing down Torah. Eis Lasos Lashem, we write down Torah. Right? Eis Lasos Lashem, we make chadorim. Eis Lasos Lashem, we pay money to koilels. Yeah.
There's a popular belief, I think, in the Yeshiva community that the system outlined by Rosham Shabal Hirsch was intended as an Eis Lasos Lashem. Someone suggested that really just the opposite is true, that the koel system that exists in our community today is an Eis Lasos Lashem. That the emphasis that exists in today in our present generation is because of circumstances which are extenuating, which demand this approach. And that perhaps more than saying that Shem Shavuot Hirsch was simply a reaction to the times in his perspective, our approach is a response to the need of the hour.
I want to tell you one thing, like the Shem Shavuot Hirsch. Anyone who claims that Shem Shavuot Hirsch said it, I'll say Slash Hashem, doesn't undeserve Shem Shavuot Hirsch. I mean, there's no question about it. You can hold whatever you want, but that Reb Shem Shavuot Hirsch, that is the way Torah is supposed to look, there's no question about it. But I am sure that he was describing the Menorah Jew. In other words, he was describing the masses. Right? I'm saying that even Reb Shem Shavuot Hirsch would agree with the Rambam that the Kodesh Kodoshim Jew, he wasn't talking about it. He was establishing a community. You can't establish a community with the Oren Jew. Oren Jew is not part of the community.
Except that it seems that that's what we're trying to do.
Who? That what?
It seems that the notion of training a young person, a young man, to live only as the Aron Jew seems to be the ideal that our community is projecting.
Right.
Which, as you just suggested,
that is an Eis Lasos Lashem. That I would agree with you 100%. That is for sure an Eis Lasos Lashem. Do you have any sophic that eventually, let's say, we are not fighting for survival anymore? Meanwhile, we're still fighting for survival. I mean, it's ridiculous to say otherwise. What percentage are we still? We are still fighting for survival. Once we reach the point, Yemetz Hashem, that we are not going to be fighting for survival, there's no question about it. A Godel will come out. The Rebbeinu Shalom will send us a Godel who will say, stop. Some people will stay in Koilel. Only the chosen few will stay in Koilel. The rest of them will become accountants and architects and shoemakers. King Sofekni. The time hasn't come yet, but the time will come, no question about it. Yemetz Hashem, if we are successful, and then the Torah will go back to Yoshna.
I think it's important to explain the difference in the Rambam. The Rambam, at the beginning, where he explains the maila of supporting oneself vis-a-vis taking money for learning Torah, and where he says that if you machnas yourself on the tzibur, when he brings down that techil Hashem and you have that lashon is when a person says that, that's not when you take, that's not taking a kaidel check. That's when you say that you go begging the tzibur to support you because you have nothing to eat, because you don't go to work, because you learn. That's not true. When yeshivas go to raise money for a kailul, they tell the people, you're supporting Torah. You're not supporting poor people. And there's people that could afford, and they think if a person could afford, he's also not to take a kailul check. Might not be right, but the idea of when people give money to kailuls, they're giving money to support Torah because they want to have a chalik in someone's learning Torah. They can't learn Torah. It's not exactly technically to yourself. I mean, according to Ramesh, it's not exactly technically, but the idea of it.
Or Ramesh said that the
Ramesh said that the Yisachar Zevulun is only when it goes 50-50 all the way. You get 50% chelik of the learning, and he has.
What do you mean? When you made up a contract, you mean that's the only
that
way?
Is the only type of Yisachar Zevulun. That's literally when you give 50% of your money, and he gets 50% of your learning, and you cannot keep any
more.
Is
it safer? Interesting. Very, very interesting.
But it's being brought down in he brings it down in Juba. But the idea is that people are giving money for because they want people to learn. That's a Rashida told me that when he raises money, that's exactly what they don't say that we have yungalai which are poor and they need money. It's different when they come hachnosis kala. We need money for hachnosis kala. We need money for operation. We need money to support Torah.
I'm not sure if you're right.
Now, the Rambam still says that's not the best milah. That's the first one where he says the milah is a person should support himself. But you're not going to give up a milah and sacrifice. That's where Rambam says that. It's kedai to have the Torah and not have the milah of the best type of Torah. But the second half, the Rambam...
So I don't understand. So according to you, so why are you taking money when you say to learn the koilah?
For your learning. But that's, you're right, it's not the milah, but it's not a chil Hashem. It's not being machnas alav al tzibur where they're forced to support you because they have nothing to eat.
It's not a question that they're forced to support you. The Rambam is not emphasizing here that you are compelling the tzibur to support you. The Rambam says that you are choosing to be supported by the tzibur rather than to be supported by Yediyat
Hashem. Right, that's a milah. But on that he doesn't bring down that it's a chil Hashem. If you take money, there's the first he brings down the where... The Maile is a person should support himself and not take money like a Rav shouldn't take a salary. That's a Maile also, but Rav shouldn't take a salary. But,
there is a difficulty in the Rambam here. Why does Rambam have to say, Kolamei sima liboy, she yasoy betoiro, velo yase melocho, visparnis minatz doko, areze chile le sashen.
That's not a salary that Rav gets.
What?
Visparnis minatz doko, the Rambam does not mean when a Rav gets a salary.
He doesn't mean that?
Yeah. Definitely not.
I think that this discussion can only be fully illuminated if you look at what the Rambam writes with great length and with great intensity and vigor in the Parash of Mishnah on the Mishnah of Kardam Lach Bargo. He writes at great length using terminology that with the
Shach quotes it, by the way. The Shach quotes the whole
thing. To see how the Rambam... He says, I decided already I wasn't going to write about it. This one, he was a young man. Mm-hmm. I said, I wasn't going to write about it because nobody listens. But I decided I have to write about it because it's the MS and the MS has to be studied. Look, oh, Hashem, like this, I cannot allow to go without comment. And he writes there precisely about those who are the elite of the community in terms of their Torah scholarship and their Torah devotion. Those are precisely the ones who are forbidden to shum pani v'opin to take money. I think that the efforts, this is already kind of going beyond what I have the right to do, but I think that the efforts to modify the position of the Rambam are simply because the mice of the minhag is that we do it. And we don't like to do things that fly in the face of the opinion of the Rambam.
Right.
So we do it wherever we can, but right. The mice is a little halash.
I want to tell you something.
That he's talking about two different types of things. This thing is salary for learning and supporting that stalker. Stalker is when people support because the person can't.
Listen, there is no question about it. If we wouldn't take money, we would be respected much more and we would be listened to much more. I want to tell you something. I was just in Los Angeles. There's a certain community. Is anybody here from that area? From Los Angeles here?
Huh? I have my wife.
Yeah? There's one community there which I think is the most amazing community I've seen. I mean, we're not going to go into the shittes, make people argue with the shittes, whatever it is. There's a rabbi there. And this rabbi created a community on his own, created a community. He doesn't take a cent. He's a businessman. Doesn't take a cent. And he's so stark, when people come, they want to become members, they say, how much is... Money is not important. A commitment to learning. Every member has to come and learn a few times a week. Hopefully they'll come in the morning and then at night and have Gemara Shiurim. And they are all involved in learning. I was amazed. There have only 80 families. 80 families. I spoke there 2 weeks ago when I was there in Los Angeles. A tremendous crowd. It must be that everybody came to the shiur. If there is a shiur, everybody's going to come. And the rabbi says shiurim is an assistant to say shiurim. And I saw how the rabbi deals with him from a tremendous position of strength because he doesn't take a cent. I saw it. I sensed it. I sensed the relationship that they have towards him. It's not a rabbi that's tolling a board. That's a bale boss. So whatever people have criticism concerning that part, you know what I mean? Yeah. That specific community. I was pleasantly surprised when I saw that community. A community which sits and learns. I mean, whatever bit you can say the community, a community which sits and learns at that tremendous stress on learning. It's amazing. I was really amazed. There is, I have no doubt that his power comes from the fact that he doesn't take any money. It's a koyach to be able to teach and to be a mashpia, and they shouldn't feel that you are taking money from them, gives you an enormous leverage that you can get out of the way. So I'm not sure if you can say chilla. I mean, sometimes there is a chilla Hashem too in that. But for practical purposes, if it's possible to do that, I would advise it 100%. All right. Charles.
Same old.
So somebody said, if you can really get paid what you are worth, then take. If not, don't take. In other words, if Orthodox rabbis would get paid like Reform rabbis, then eno chinam. But they don't. So you don't get the madrega of respect because it hurts. You're cheap. You're cheap. How can they respect you? That's the problem.
I think that's something related to the topic of the show today. Earlier this week, I gave a class in teaching history, Jewish history.